We're in a series, as you saw, and as you're still seeing, called He Will Be Called. This series is kind of leading us right up to Christmas time. And it's those words, if you've been in church for a long time, you know those words. You've heard that clump of words said together, He will be called. If you haven't been in church for a long time, these words came several hundred years, 600-700 years before Jesus showed up on the planet. And it was this prophet speaking. His name's Isaiah, and Isaiah was talking to Israel, who were sort of defined at that point as God's people. And God's people had received God's promise, and they lived in this land that was good. And Isaiah showed up, and he said, you're in this land now, but actually you're going to be pushed out of this land. Actually, because of the way you're living, you're going to be exiled from this land, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be exciting or joyful. You're going to not like it when you go out of this land, but there will come a day when a Savior will be born. There will come a day when one will come to us. There will come a day where a child will be born, a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called. He will be called. And then Isaiah goes on and says these four names that he's going to be called. So the first week we talked about him being the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Wonderful Counselor, not just a counselor that gives good advice and is kind of smart, but actually wonderful in that he's unexpected, that when you walk closely with him, you'll be surprised what advice he might give you. You'll be surprised what he might call you into, that you might not even be able to comprehend the great things that he's asking of you. And yet he'll ask. He's the Wonderful Counselor. This week, we're going to talk about him being the mighty God. Let's just read that verse, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mighty God. I think probably a lot of people in Jesus' time, and then also way back when Isaiah said these words, a lot of people, there was this anticipation, right? People started being excited about this Savior who would one day come. There's this generation after generation that say, yeah, we're still not living the promise, but it's coming. Yeah, we're still not where we thought we'd be, but it's coming. There's one that's going to come and save us, one that's going to come and help us, one that's going to come and make all things good. And those people expected this mighty God. But I kind of think that they expected a lot like we expect. When we hear the idea of mighty God, we think that someone's going to come with the might to accomplish in our life whatever we want that person to accomplish. That might is going to be used for our goodness. That might is going to be used for what we want. That might, you know, we have this idea of what we wish we had or what we wish we could accomplish or what we wish the world looked like. And we think that the mighty God is going to come and bring might for that, might for those purposes. Often we want to use God's might for our delight. No? Okay. I'm trying up here, okay? We're trying. We're going to keep going. We want to use God's might sometimes for our delight, right? We do sometimes when we say, God, we really believe that if you're mighty, you will accomplish this thing for me, whatever this thing is. I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer to God that it was important to you at the time, but you're disappointed that God doesn't answer it the way you want. I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer. My wife and I have prayed this prayer many times before. God, would you just multiply our hours of sleep? Have you ever prayed that one? It either happens in our life because we've got our kids. If there's parents in the room, especially if they've got young kids right now, there's always, you know, one or two nights, maybe many nights where your kids are really young, where you think this is, I'm going to sleep and that will be the end for us. Like I cannot exist anymore. I have no idea how I will live anymore. I haven't slept for the last who knows how long. I can't do it. You know, it might be one of those moments, or sometimes it's just someone saying, I'm getting up early in the morning. I've planned this day terribly. I've just watched 7 hours of Netflix, and I'm up way later than I should be for how early I have to get up. God, you're going to have to work a miracle here. Glad you're mighty. Multiply my hours. And we think, oh, I'm so glad that there's a mighty God around me that can do things like that. It's so nice. You know, maybe for you, it's that you were crossing that 17th Street bridge, and your prayer was, God, let your might split the cars, right? I love how much people talk about traffic in the Comox Valley. It's like, oh, those bridges, you just don't cross those things. God, would you just split this traffic? Here's the problem, God. I have a meeting. I'm supposed to be at a lunch. I'm supposed to be at someone's house. I'm supposed to be with my friend, or I have an appointment or whatever. And I left too late and I planned terribly. And I forgot that there is this traffic around the 17th and 5th Street Bridge. And so, God, you're going to need to do a miracle. I'm so glad you're mighty. Split the traffic, please. Amen. Praise Jesus, I'm so holy, you know? And we've got these prayers that I'll just use God's might for my delight. For whatever I need, I'll just use his might for that. I'll just do whatever I want him to do in that particular thing. Maybe you're a student and you're in school. Say, Lord, I haven't studied a little slight iota. Would you just give me an A on this test? Please, use your might. Use your might, God. Thank you, Lord, that every answer is in your mind. Now just put it in mine, amen, you know? Sometimes we actually think that's a really holy thing. I pray all the time, yeah. I pray for my A's when I don't study. I pray for good sleep when I didn't plan well. I pray for the traffic to be split. I pray for the parking spots because I'm impatient. I pray for all these things. Sometimes we forget that God's not just a mighty sort of genie who's ready to sort of bend to your every whim, bend to my every whim, to our every whim, and just trying to figure out how can I use your might to make you happy. But he's also God. He's also God, and sometimes he's going to say to you, because he's God and he's wise and he knows things, sometimes he's going to say to you, instead of splitting the traffic, I think you need to be late for this meeting to know that next time you should plan a little bit better. Or maybe he's going to say, actually, you need to fail this test. You shouldn't pass this test because you didn't study for this test. And I gave you a mind, I gave you capability, and you're in school, which half the world doesn't get. I think instead of me acing this test for you, I'm going to help you get an F so you can learn about the great things that you have in school. You know, God's got wisdom. He's not just mighty to sort of serve us however we want, but he's God. And Jesus was going to show up this way. A lot of people didn't like Jesus showing up this way. They thought, oh, good, if the Messiah comes, then he'll do things the way I think he should do them. That's why the Pharisees, when Pastor Allen talked about today, that's why the Pharisees were so upset when Jesus was coming to town. And people were saying, oh, here he is. It's the Messiah. It's the great one. Look at who he is. I can't believe he's here. This is awesome. Hosanna, Hosanna, welcome. It's so great to have you. And the Pharisees are like, no. This can't be God. This can't be the Messiah. This can't be the one Isaiah spoke about. He hangs out with dirty people. He hangs out with not nice people. Sometimes he even does healings when it's the Sabbath. He doesn't do the right things. This can't be God. Jesus, are you going to let them speak about you this way? And Jesus was, well, it's them or the rocks. Because they're calling me God and you're saying I'm not. And I'm telling you, if they stop calling me God, the rocks will call me God. He didn't just show up as someone mighty to serve the whims of the people. He showed up as God. Power. God with wisdom, God that commands our respect for him. There's a couple moments in Scripture that Peter, one of his disciples, sort of discovers that this isn't just some mighty miracle worker that he's with, but he's actually in the presence of God. And we're going to look at a couple of those stories really quick today. Mark 4:35-41 is one of those. So Jesus had these disciples around him, right? The followers around him, people who were going where he was going, and all of them kind of had an entry into following Jesus one way or another. Peter, his following of Jesus came after Jesus did perform some miracles, after Jesus did some pretty amazing things in his life. Peter all of a sudden said, I want to follow you. I want to know more about you. I want to experience whatever you've got going on. And so he's seen Jesus perform miracles with fishing, Jesus perform miracles with feeding lots of people, with healing. He's seen some miracles. But then there's this one time when they're heading out on a boat. It says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up. Every time I read that, I think, I should probably look up what a squall is, but I'm thinking a storm. So that's what we're going with today. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I like that. First of all, they don't call it a bed. It's just called a cushion, which is like you picture a little kitty curling up on a cushion. But here the storm is going on. Waves are crashing. Wind is blowing. People are freaked out. And Jesus is just having a little snooze, just relaxing. Oh, those waves are so nice. Like, it's just kind of a comical kind of scene. The disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So here the disciples show up, and I like that they don't call him God, they don't call him Lord, they don't call him Master, they don't call him Almighty One. They don't say, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. They just walk in and say, hey, teacher, you smart guy, guy who's been teaching us, guy who's been showing us stuff, guy who we've been following around, guy that we like, guy who showed us some pretty powerful things, some mighty works, some mighty deeds, even some miracles. You probably could do something about this. I'm not sure what, but here you are sleeping. We're pretty sure you could help us at least. Grab a paddle, if nothing else. Like, can't you do something about this, teacher? Are you not concerned about us? Why are you sleeping? It's funny, often our approach to God is that very way, and the Pharisees' approach to God is that very way. Don't you know what I'm struggling with? Why are you not doing anything about it? Where's your might? I thought you said you were mighty. I thought Isaiah said you were mighty. Where's your might? Because I need you right now. Could it be that Jesus wasn't being the mighty side of that right there? He was being God. It's like, why do you need my might? You've got me in the boat. I'm here with you in the boat. Why do you need me to do something? I'm here with you. And so Jesus gets up. I don't know why. I don't know why I just picture. I always picture, oh, that sounds good, guys. Come on, get my coffee going, and then we'll come out here. Like, I just picture him in a nightcap and just, I don't know. He's always in his jammies. Anyways, he comes out, says he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. Quiet. Be still. I like that moment. They come up. They're like, what's he going to do? Is he going to help us paddle? He's pretty strong. You know, do you think, I wonder if he could do something about this. Maybe he could, like, he's a carpenter. Maybe he'll build us a roof at least. Maybe I don't know what he could do. We've seen some pretty cool miracles. Like, he's fed people. He's healed people. Maybe it's just good to have him on deck in case someone, like, falls off and he can bring them back on and do his miraculous CPR or something like that. I don't know. How are we going to use this guy? What's going to happen? How are we going to use his might in this situation? I don't know. I don't know what anyone was expecting in that moment. But Jesus gets up, walks out of his sleepy place, comes up here and says, ah, shh, 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 shh. Wind, waves, quiet. Do you know what? I use that move shh, 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 with my kids and they don't even listen. Let alone wind and waves. They submit to him. They're obedient to him. They say yes to him. Do you know why? They've heard his voice before. This isn't Jesus, the miracle worker. This isn't Jesus, the nice guy who does some pretty cool things. This isn't Jesus who just hangs out with people and walks around and hangs out in the countryside. All of a sudden, the disciples are looking on and saying, we don't know anyone else who's ever talked to wind and waves other than God himself and had them listen. We're not with some miracle worker. We're not just with some mighty guy who's got some mighty moves like some of the other mighty miracle workers around that do all their mysticism and all that stuff. This is not some mighty guy. This is God here with us. He says, shh, be quiet. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And here's the clincher, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So here they are, now it's like a perfectly calm day. Everything's just settled. Okay, relax, shh, I'm going back to bed. I'm gonna be cool. Okay. And they're all just like, what just happened? He just calmed every fear and now they're more afraid because now they realize we're with God. We're with something bigger. We're with something more than we realize. We're with, this isn't just like the mighty guy. This is God. This is not just sort of a Messiah who's here to save us from Rome. This isn't just a Messiah who's here to sort out some political things. This is the Messiah who is God in flesh. This is the Messiah who's here to talk to waves. This is the Messiah who was there to talk to waves at the beginning when they started. The disciples would have been blown away by this. See, Jesus is more than mighty deeds. He's mighty deity. Come on, that's good. That's good right there. He's more than just mighty deeds. He's mighty. Wahoo! Hey, we're back. We're waking up here. There we go. He's more than just mighty deeds. He's mighty deity. And this is when they realize it. This is like, we've seen him do all of these cool things, but we've seen lots of other people do cool things. Now it's not about the cool things. It's about the thing that he is. He's not a person. He's not just a person. He's God. So they've only seen three people talk to wind and waves or water in their past. In their history, in the Jewish history, there are a few times that God did things with water or seas or waves. The first one, they know, okay, I remember God did that in creation. God actually made the oceans. God actually made the seas. God put that stuff in place. And so they're like, first person that we've ever seen talk to wind and waves, God back then. The second person that they saw do that was in Israel's story. It actually happened twice, but the big one was with Moses in the Red Sea. Moses shows up to the Red Sea and he splits the sea. God splits the sea through him and they walk through the Red Sea and it closes up on the Egyptians. So they're thinking, okay, we know that God spoke and the ocean listened to him and the seas listened to him and the waves and the wind listened to him. Then we know Moses, and Moses is like one of their, he's their big guy. He's who everyone talks about. He's their hero. He's the top dog. It's a, hey, what do you do? I follow Moses' law. I follow Moses' rule. I learn from Moses and I do what Moses asked us to do. That's his standing in life. And then the last piece that they've seen someone talk to water and it responds was Elijah, which becomes one of the biggest prophets that they knew. Elijah also separated the water, or God did it through him. And so here these guys are sitting there thinking, the water, the waves, the wind, they just listened to Jesus, who we thought was just a guy. And the only times we've ever seen this done was God in creation, Moses, who we all, he's one of our heroes, and Elijah, who we think has had the most significant voice of all the prophets. This is crazy. Could Jesus be one of them, they think? Could Jesus be on that same kind of level with Moses and Elijah? Wow. And so Jesus, a little later, takes a few of his good buds. He takes Peter, James, and John. And they go for a hike. These are his closest friends. These are his favorites, if Jesus chose favorites. But just so you know, that ended with them. We're all his favorite now, okay? You're okay. So he takes Peter, James, and John, wahoo. Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and there's this moment that he has with them. It's Matthew 17, 1-6. So after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them, Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So you've got this moment. Jesus said, I want to show you something. Pete, James, John, come on. Let's go up this mountain. I need to show you something. He gets up there, and as he gets up there, it's like, he turns to light. It's transfigured. His inside beauty starts to show through. His clothes become light, like it's a bright light to look at. And then all of a sudden, his buddy Moses and Elijah show up. And so now the disciples, Peter, James, and John, are looking and saying, what? We've got Jesus here, and he's amongst our heroes, Moses and Elijah. These are our three heroes. This is the trifecta. These must be God's favorite. It goes God and then these three, and we're somewhere down here, maybe up high. I don't know where we are, but this is it. This is the best. I can't believe it. All of God's favorites are in one room together. We got to do something about this. So Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Worship team, you can come on up. God interrupts Peter. Peter's there saying, I love this. This is so fun. All of my favorite heroes, my favorite Bible characters. We got Moses, we got Elijah, and we got Jesus. This is so cool. I know what we need to do. We need to set you up each a shelter because all of you are so important. And boom, a cloud just shows up. And the cloud starts speaking powerfully in this situation, says, stop it, Peter. This is my son. God now affirms Jesus is not some mighty miracle worker. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Jesus is in the family line with God. Jesus is God. This is my son. Moses was really good and he led a lot of people and he did a lot of things and he gave the law. Elijah was incredible and he was a prophet and he spoke boldly and he gave life. But listen, when you stack up Elijah and Moses and Jesus, you have two men who did great things for God, and you have God. And so they fell down before this cloud. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified, but Jesus came and touched them. I love this. Jesus was just identified before his best buds as more important, more valuable, more God-like than Elijah and Moses, the heroes that they read about in all their textbooks, talked about in all their circles around the campfire. That's who they shared stories about. Jesus has just been spoken about from God himself, about being God's son. They've fallen down terrified, just like what they would have felt on the ocean or on the sea when all the water settled down. They were in the presence of God. And in that presence, instead of God just leaving them and saying, you're on your own now. I can't believe you're like that. You're not good enough. I'm God. You're not. I'm strong. You're weak. I'm smart. You're dumb. I can't believe there is all this stuff. You don't get it. No, it says Jesus walks over to them. He says, hey, I'm still that, yeah, but I'm this too. Get up. Yeah, I'm God, but God has come to you. I'm God, but God has come to you. When you recognize my deity and my might and my power and who I am and the way prophets spoke about me, when you recognize all those things about me, you may be shocked, you may be blown away, you may even be afraid. And when you come to the place where you're broken before me, I'm there picking you up and dusting you off. Jesus says, get up. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. See, sometimes we have this concept that We need a Moses and an Elijah and a Jesus. We need a Moses who tells us all the rules and we live by all those rules, and as long as we do that, we should start to gain God's favor. We need an Elijah who would start to speak to us about spiritual things and teach us spiritual ways. We need a counselor, someone who's just wise and who's gonna speak to us boldly and do all those things. And we need a Jesus who's gonna save us. I don't know where you get all your stuff from. Sometimes we think we need it. We need all of these little pieces, and once they all come together and Jesus takes his little piece, then our pie will be complete. And God in a cloud shows up and says to Peter, James, and John, "You're wrong. This is the only one who's my son. This is God. This is God. This is who you come to." Here's one last tweetable for you. Jesus isn't just part of a mighty squad. He's the one and only mighty God. He's not part of this group that will change your life. He's the one and only mighty God that will change your life. And all who come to him will be saved. All who come to him will be saved. Because Jesus doesn't go around to some people and say, "Do you want to get up?" No, no, no. This isn't duck, duck, goose. You know, this isn't some situation where he's picking a few. No, no, no. Okay, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. Jesus is reaching to all of us. If your ears are hearing this message today, if your eyes are seeing me speak today, if your heart is starting to feel something stirring up today, that is God himself reaching out to you through the Holy Spirit that Jesus went and sent to you. This is Jesus saying, "Come on, get up. I am God. You can see me in the fullness. You can see me in all that I am. You are recognizing who I am. You are seeing the broadness and the bigness and the incomprehensible, the beyond expectation, the greater, the more. You are seeing it all, but yet I'm here. Get on up. Get on up. Let me walk with you." Because God became Emmanuel, God with us, in the Christmas season. He is mighty, he is God, and he is with us. He wants to walk with you. Could we all just bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment? Today I want to give you that chance. If you say, I have had a bunch of things and Jesus has been a piece of it, and today you're sort of recognizing the way that God spoke about Jesus, maybe you could speak about Jesus today, that he is the one and only, he is the hope for you, he is the mighty God, he's the same one that Isaiah spoke about hundreds of years before he was born, that he's not just some good advice, he's not just a warm, cozy hug, he's not just the one who can bring some peace in your life, he is God with us. Today, if you say, "I want to follow that God. I want to make him the one and only. I want him to be the only one I look to, the only one I believe in, the only one I'm going to rely on. I want to see his mighty power, but I also want to know the God who can speak to me about what I don't need, about what I've been chasing and I shouldn't be chasing." If you want that Jesus, he is saying to you, "Come on then, get up. I'll come with you. I'll come with you. Come on, dust yourself off. I want to walk with you. Come on, I am God and I am here with you." If you want that Jesus today, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yeah, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and you, and you, and you. I want to pray for you. If there's anyone else, I'd love to just be able to pray for you. Just raise your hand so I can see you. Yeah, God bless you. Is there anyone upstairs? Yeah, God bless you. Pray for you. Is there anyone else? I just don't want to miss anyone. God bless you. Pray for you. And for you. Yes, for you. For you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are mighty. You are God, and yet you're also bending down in the dust and saying, "Come on, come with me. I'm Jesus." Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for who you were spoken of to be. Lord, thank you for the way Isaiah said it. Thank you for the way that people expected it. Thank you, Lord, that when we sit here, we can know that we're not just meeting some idea. We're meeting God. This isn't just some concept. That this is God. God who changes lives. God who reaches into hearts. God who penetrates our hearts and breaks them for what breaks yours. God who wants to make a difference in this Comox valley. Thank you, Lord, that you are the mighty God who has plans for those who are broken, who has plans for those who are addicted, who has plans for those who are walking through health issues, who has plans for those who are hurting here in the Comox Valley. Lord, thank you. You're mighty, you're strong, you're powerful. You give us hope. And Lord, thank you for these who have raised their hands, say, I want that God in my life, not just for me, but for those around me. I want that God who's going to change me and cause me to know the fullness of God in my life, cause me to know the hope that I didn't know before, cause me to know that I don't have to pursue every other thing, just Him alone. Jesus, today, confirm this in hearts. Confirm this in hearts. This is a moment with God, not a moment with an idea. This is a moment with God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the lives you're touching even today. Thank you for all that you have planned for this Comox Valley and that we get to be a part of it. Jesus, you are good. You are good. You are mighty. We celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray. And anyone who believes it says, amen. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. People are seeing that mighty God, the one who is, the one who was and is to come, is here now. He's in your heart. He's for you. Let's all stand up together. If you today said, there's something going on in me, there's something happening, I need to share it, we want you to share it with us. Let us know what's going on. Fill out a connect card. Tell us what's happening so we can follow up with you and chat with you and get you connected in here. The mighty God is for you. We love you. Have a great week. These guys are going to sing us out of here.